Welcome y bienvenidos to Spanglish Hour. Today we will be exploring the phenomenon of Spanglish. This podcast will feature interviews from sociolinguist scholars, elementary school educators, and random Miami citizens. My name is Giovanni, and today we will be hosting the segment as a roundtable discussion. We live in Miami, so ya tú sabes, at one point or another, we've all been exposed to Spanglish and have even spoken it ourselves. We were curious about how the everyday person feels about this hybrid language. We spread out, conducted interviews, and after analyzing the responses, we came to the conclusion that Spanglish is widely used in the Miami community, but not necessarily accepted as a formal language. With me here, I have Gabby, one of our field reporters, who is ready to share her findings about how people define Spanglish.
Thanks, Jovi. So, Spanglish is usually defined as a mixed language, diverse from prolonged exposure to both the Spanish and English languages. As students at Florida International University, we experience a variety of language dialects each day. But Spanglish is usually one of the most common ones, given that we live in a city that is largely Hispanic. So we surveyed a few students on campus to see how they define Spanglish, and this is what they had to say.
How do you define Spanglish? A mixture of Spanish and English in the same sentence.
How do you define Spanglish?
The combination of English words and Spanish words used together, sometimes in hybrids, or it could be individual words within a sentence.
Spanglish is, it's not a language, but I guess sort of a dialect of Spanish, where you would mostly speak Spanish and have the Spanish structure, but also throw in some English word and slang.
So based on these interviews, we realized that most people have a clear definition on what Spanglish is. The other thing we noticed was that they all seem to agree that it is something very common here in Miami and in other parts of the United States where there are Spanish speakers. The interesting thing was also the fact that most of them did not think Spanglish had a grammatical structure. The only ones that seemed to believe it did have a structure were people who had studied or read about language in an academic or work setting. They also believe that it is something mostly used in a social setting and not informal ones. Along with having the similar idea of what Spanglish is, they all said that the main reason Spanglish is used is because if they did not know how to say a certain word, they would use the one they knew and continue their conversation. So an example of this would be if they were having a conversation in Spanish and they didn't know the Spanish term, they would say it in English and then continue their conversation. The interviewers also said that it was used as a comfort mechanism to get their point across to make sure that the person they were speaking to knew exactly what they meant. It also came down to an identity factor because we live in a two-language world, one being English and the other Spanish. Overall, the idea of Spanglish is something most people in Miami know and use on a daily basis with no negative connotations.
Thanks, Gabby. Now we'll hear from Rafael, who will discuss perceptions of Spanglish in Miami.
The perceptions of Spanglish seems to be one of a casual, common speech, a sort which is spoken among friends and family, but not among fellow employees or professionals. The individuals interviewed seem to see the language as something said by many and among those they feel most comfortable with. Spanglish has been mainly perceived as something quite common, something I myself might do among friends, and especially my mother. However, it never seemed that the interviewed saw Spanglish as something to be ashamed of or looked down upon. While not a formal way of talking, it's seen as something many people in Miami do. I had the opportunity to talk to Professor Travich about these topics and more. What was most interesting was that, due to her not being a native Miami resident and having been born outside the U.S., she could still understand how Spanglish worked due to being multilingual.
I grew up speaking several languages in a sentence.
Right. Okay.
So that's, for me, that's normal.
Right.
And so I don't know what... My opinion is that sometimes you can only express things in a certain language, so...
Right.
So that makes sense. If you have those tools, then you can do that better because you have more languages to draw from.
I like that Travich has had experience with languages strongly similar to Spanglish as far as structure and usage goes. While she isn't too experienced with Spanglish itself, she is well aware and supportive of using other words and such from other languages while speaking. Having growing up around different languages makes sense. It's something that has been a part of her life, similarly like it has for many Miami natives. Someone else who had interesting things to say about Spanglish and how it can be perceived is Lena Yunus.
Spanglish is like its own sub-language. People just use it. It's very common here. I hear it a lot. Like, my brother speaks Spanglish a lot, and it's just a normal, everyday language.
I particularly like her use of the term sub-language to refer to Spanglish. I also like that she pointed out that Spanglish is, indeed, a common language spoken by many, especially those living in Miami. To me, this all reinforces that idea that Spanglish is such a common thing that, to those interviewed, and many others, it can be a part of their daily life. Even if someone does not speak more than one language, if they live in an area with many bi or tri or multilinguals, they will encounter some type of sub-language like Spanglish, if not Spanglish itself.
Qué bueno, Rafa. Great work.
Thanks.
I've never thought of the term sub-language in reference to Spanglish. Now, for the next topic, Sophia is here to discuss the general ideas about Spanglish grammar that people of the Miami community have.
Thanks, Jovi. I'm glad to be here. I'd really like to talk about Spanglish in terms of its grammatical structure. I find it very interesting that the majority of responses we received to the question, "Do you believe Spanglish has a set grammatical structure?" consisted of negative answers. Most of our interviewees seem to believe that Spanglish is used randomly and that each person speaks Spanglish differently based on their individual experiences. Many stated that they believe Spanglish does not have a grammatical structure and that it is rather improper to speak Spanglish in formal settings. I spoke to Lena Yunus, a Hispanic student at FIU who is studying psychology, and this is her response to my question.
No, I don't think it's like particularly set. No, I think people just use it I don't think it's like an actual set like language with rules, and I just think it's more a cultural, social language. More than actual rules.
What's most interesting about this and other responses is the way people think about the term grammar. Rona Travich, another of our interviewees who happens to work in FIU's English department, responded in this way when asked the same question.
You mean that someone decided it and wrote it down and that kind of thing?
No, I think it's
organic.
Right, okay.
I think most languages are, and that's why it's hard with grammar books, because things keep changing.
Alright, so it's like an ever-evolving, like it might have its structure, but it's ever-evolving?
Yeah. I would say like other languages too.
Nicole Consuegra, another FIU student, suggested that the grammar of Spanglish is hard to define because Spanish and English have two different structures.
Do you believe Spanglish has like a set grammatical structure?
I don't think so. I mean, I guess it would depend on how you say it and how well you know the grammar in either English or Spanish. Because sometimes the wording is different just because the grammar is different.
Based on those responses, it seems to be the case that Spanglish is commonly thought to be an unorganized language used without adherence to any grammatical structure because it stems from two different languages. However, as a student in Dr. Carter's Modern English Grammar course, I have to say that this idea is false. Dr. Carter has demonstrated to our class that Spanglish truly does have its own grammatical structure, distinct from those of either Spanish or English. It is very much a language in progress. We were able to interview Lita Lopez, a graduate student at FIU's linguistics department, and her response to our question supports this idea.
Like every language variety, it is rule governed. It is very much rule governed. I think we're still trying to work out what those rules are. But yes, definitely.
Similarly, Glenn Hutchinson, who is the assistant director at FIU's Center for Excellence in Writing, quoted Dr. Carter and stated that he believes Spanglish does have a grammatical structure of its own. Here are his words.
Dr. Carter is quoted in this article called English, or Spanglish, let's see, English in the 305.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about in our class the idea of the dialect of Miami and that it follows certain rules and, that there's a way of studying a dialect to show the influence of different languages. So it could be Spanglish or it could be the Miami dialect of English and Spanish together.
So based on the feedback we got from these various Miami residents, I think it's clear that many people believe that Spanglish is not really Spanish and not really English, that it's a sort of go-between language that isn't organized in its own right. Yet from what we learned in Dr. Carter's class, we know that to be a misunderstanding of this unique language variation. Spanglish does have a structure and limitations, such as the free morpheme and equivalence constraints that we learned about in class. As Lita mentioned, linguists are still trying to work out what the grammatical structure of Spanglish entails.
Thanks, Sophia.
You're welcome.
Hopefully one day the majority of people in cities like Miami will recognize that Spanglish is a language of its own, just as English and Spanish are. Now, let's move on to what it means to use language and code switching with Tabitha.
Thanks, Jovi. I spoke to different individuals of the FIU community in order to grasp their belief of whence people use Spanglish. The majority of the students that were interviewed believed that Spanglish was simply utilized to substitute words in either English or Spanish that the person did not know. Rather than using the language as another form of expression, Spanglish was widely believed to be used as a crutch due to a lack of knowledge in either English or Spanish. We spoke to Alexa, a student here at FIU, who elaborated more on this topic.
What do you think makes people speak Spanglish?
Like I said earlier, not fully knowing English or not fully knowing Spanish. It's like the halfway point between either learning English completely or learning Spanish completely.
Along with this large sample of students who believe that Spanglish was mainly used for convenience on the speaker's part, a small portion believed that it was related to strong cultural ties. Chris, a student at FIU, believes that speaking Spanglish is an expression of being raised as Latino.
What makes people speak Spanglish?
Culture. Is being both raised in both English and maybe going to English speaking schools while speaking Spanish at home.
Oh,
and then it just kind of morphed in during that important developmental stage of learning a language.
To further develop this viewpoint, sociolinguist Lita expressed her agreement that the use of Spanglish is more than simple substitutions, emphasizing the sense of identity that speaking Spanglish provides.
I think in the U.S., what makes people speak Spanglish is being Latino in the United States and living in both of these cultures. I think a lot of people would say that people tend to use the languages either because they're insecure in one language and more secure in another language, or because they don't know the one word in one language than another language, which I think definitely happens. So like my example before, I didn't know how to say commute in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
So I, in a mostly Spanish sentence, I used the word commute in English, and that technically is Spanglish. And I did use it because I did not know the word. I think that's a very minor part of using Spanglish. I think using Spanglish is most of an identity thing. It's because you are experiencing the world in these two cultures, you are using this language to express yourself in the two cultures.
As a result of these findings, I delved into the concept of code switching, the use of two languages in conversation. Focusing particularly in an interactive setting, we spoke again with Glenn Hutchinson for his input on how this bilingual writing center functions. With a dual language approach, mainly utilizing Spanish and English during sessions, he expressed that there was a significantly higher level of comprehension between the tutor and the student.
Well, in our tutor training course, the distinction we make between code switching and code meshing is this, that code switching often means that you speak one language in one context, like the home, maybe the dialect that you know growing up, and then a different dialect at work or at school. So you switch, they're exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
And code meshing, we read some articles by Vershawn Ashanti-Young and some other scholars, ask us to see if there are ways that we can mesh them together, like Spanglish, where you are able to weave different dialects together to create a rhetorical effect. So in the writing center, the first way this happens is, since we are a multilingual space, many of our tutors speak more than one language and many of our students do. Sometimes we'll have sessions where somebody is writing something in English, and then we might say, well, how would you say this in Spanish or another language? And then they might think or write in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And then see if they can, if they want to translate that or use elements or traces of that in their writing. So the other thing I think is important is we look at students' rights to their own language, which is a resolution passed by the NCTE, the National Council of Teachers of English and Composition. And basically it says that we shouldn't privilege one dialect over the other, and that often when we use the term standard English, it's sort of a myth that there's just one standard thing that doesn't change.
Right.
So we're trying not to privilege one dialect over the other. So even if that language isn't meshed into the student's writing for a course, we still want to be respectful of different dialects and not say, oh, that's the wrong way to write that.
Mm-hmm.
But just to acknowledge that's a different way of expressing yourself.
These different concepts of code meshing and code switching facilitate for more productive tutoring sessions through more effective communication. In terms of communication, it is evident that Spanglish not only provides a sense of comfort for the bilingual speaker, but also for the bilingual listener. This shows a much greater depth to Spanglish than initially believed. Since it functions so similarly to other languages, why is it not regarded as such?
Fantastic! And lastly, we have Anna, who will conclude our discussion with statistics about our Spanglish study.
Although some of the interviewees refer to Spanglish as a dialect or simply slang, 100% of the participants agreed that Spanglish is a mixture of English and Spanish. When asked what had been their personal experience with Spanglish, we got a 50-50 response. All Hispanic participants, which made up 50% of the pool, said they were fluent speakers of Spanglish and used it often. All non-Hispanic participants, which made up the other 50%, reported they either could not understand it or were not very familiar with it. Out of 10 participants, only 2 reported encountering Spanglish outside of Miami. They recalled hearing it in cities like Los Angeles, New Jersey, and interestingly enough, North Carolina. Once again, only 2 of the participants, Lida Lopez and Glenn Hutchinson, believe Spanglish has a set grammatical structure. Unfortunately, their opinion does not reflect the view of the general public because they have been exposed to the language in an academic environment and therefore have studied and are familiar with its rules. Lastly, none of the participants express negativity towards Spanglish. In fact, FIU student Nicole Consuegra said,
I'd have to say that Spanglish is my best friend.
That's really...
Yeah, because I have to use it constantly. I don't really have any kind of judgment or negative perceptions towards people that use it because I myself use it. And I think it's really important to know more than just one language. Even the combination of it is pretty cool too. I mean,
in a slight contrast, Rudy Rodriguez, principal of Kenwood K-8 Center, felt positive about the language, but suggested it should only be used in social settings.
I think there's a time and a place for it. In social settings, it's very acceptable. I think in a business or professional setting, it is not, because it is not proper English or proper Spanish. So in a social setting, more than fine. It's the way we communicate here in South Florida. But I would not use it in a professional setting.
Okay. And how do you perceive people who speak it?
I think it's actually pretty... impressive that you could go from one language to the other. As a Cuban American, I think in one way and I speak in another. And at times I don't know the name of a word or how it's said, and it just automatically come out in Spanish. The fun thing about living in Miami is that most people will understand and won't even notice that you went from one language to another.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Rodriguez implied that when we speak Spanglish, we are not using either language properly. I hope our findings help society view Spanglish as its own language that can be accepted in both social and formal settings. Based on our data, we can conclude that Spanglish is a necessary way of communication for the bilingual speakers of English and Spanish, and that it should also be admired and accepted.
Well, there you have it, listeners. That's Spanglish for you. We hope our podcast has opened your minds to the reality of this new age language. While still under development, our studies show that Spanglish is widely used in Miami, and it is slowly becoming accepted as a language of its own as opposed to a heterogeneous mix of Spanish and English. I encourage you to speak it and not feel ashamed.
Keep calm and Spanglish on.